Grace to you and peace from God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who burns bright in our space this day. I struggle sometimes with the language that we choose to talk about God and to talk about the church. It's always limited. Things like if you choose the word Father, for folks who do not have a positive relationship with the Father, that can be problematic to talk about their relationship with God. And it only gets at this tiny little piece of God's character and identity, and so we need expansive language. And I struggle in particular when we use the word family to talk about the church, in part because we know how broken and weird our own families are, right? And yet, I had this moment a week ago with my own family that felt like, yeah, this is what church could be and should be. You see, a week ago, instead of being here with these young people and their families at our confirmation banquet, I was home. My mom had been moved to hospice care, and what I thought was going to be 4 or 5 days of just being with mom in a hospital room in Spokane, Washington, ended up being about 48 hours of chaos. Flying into Spokane, mom being ambulanced back to my hometown, settling into a new facility, just every part moved. And so from the time that I left here Friday morning to the time that we sat down on Sunday night, we just sprinted. And so I don't know if it was the exhaustion that led to my reaction at dinner or if it was the grief, but as I sat at the dining room or the table for dinner on Sunday night a week ago, I found myself suddenly in tears. And it was one of those places, my favorite pizza place, where all the tables are connected into big long rows. You know those places where you're kind of forced into some connection to each other. And as we sat, there was a little gap from the other family. Yeah, I don't love those places either, but I can talk to people and I, you know, do okay. Others struggle there. But as we sat there, I looked at my family and I thought, look at this beautiful menagerie of individuals. Each so wonderfully unique and each so humbly strange in that. My dad was sitting at the kind of the head of the table, my mom not there. He was kind of by himself. And dad is a guy who I think the whole world outside thinks, this guy's got his stuff together. He's a tie and a jacket. He's on all of the boards, you know, city council and the governance boards and this, that, and the other. And you look at him and you see and you think Dr. Ortman, PhD, professor. Next to him sits the other professor in my life, my oldest sister, who is absolutely a firstborn. Everything is falling around her. She became a widow herself just a couple of months ago. And she is the one who is bringing all of us together, holding space, making meals happen, taking care of us, a total typical oldest. Those two are our professorial just geniuses. She's, for those of you in the medical world, she's your organic chemistry professor. Her brain works that way. I cannot even. Next to her sat my 22-year-old nephew who is autistic, a brilliant young kid. He is one of those for whom the world has to go like this. A in the A spot, B in the B spot, etc. That said, he is a kid who loves his family deeply. He even upgraded his car recently so that he could put car seats in the back so that he could help his sister, who is the mom to his nieces and nephews, and so to be the one driving around. So he has this deep connection to service and care for my family. Then is the middle. This is like, if you are a person who studies birth order and who thinks about family systems, this is the one who behaves exactly like she should. She was the youngest for 8 years until I was born. And then she became a middle, which means that she is a lot. She's probably the smartest of us. She runs family and consumer sciences for the district where my family lives. And she just always is trying something new. It's just this kind of constant motion. I mean, just talking on the phone from 1,200 miles away, I'm exhausted when I hear about her life and what she's up to. She was sitting there next to a boyfriend. See, she too is a widow. And the boyfriend is a person who they have been very clear that will never get married. They will never get married, but this is a gentleman who she knew in school. He's of Nez Perce descent. That's where my home is right up against the Nez Perce Reservation. And he and my dad sit on opposite ends of that table because when he was in high school, my dad was his teacher, and it didn't go so well. That's one side of the table, guys. Across is the other nephew, who's also autistic. This is a young man for whom cooking is life. The one meal we ate in a house, he, at 15 years old, made. Grilling all of the meat, doing the peppers and the onions for an adobo soup thing, it was absolutely remarkable. But he's also a kid who has some sensory things. And so he's got on, when he comes to church on Sunday morning, basketball shorts. And what I would call a Hawaiian shirt, but it's dragons across it, almost always, some time of flames. And they're a liturgical church, so you didn't see our kids with the candle lighters, but those of you, you know them. And he's spinning it, twirling it, doing all of those pieces. That's part of his worship leadership and service there. Just the coolest of kids. Next to him was his big sister, my niece. She is the daughter of the other yellow dot and is also a lot. She has her fingers in all sorts of places. She did graduate high school, started college, but said, no, that's not right for me. She's run retail businesses as store managers and done all sorts of things and now is off on her own creating and just letting her personality be in bright ways. She is the person in our family who wears leopard print everything. Everything. Next to her is her boyfriend, married and divorced. She's now with this wonderful gentleman who, like the other boyfriend, is in construction. And like the other boyfriend, is a musician. The other boyfriend is a Nez Perce drummer, decorated and has traveled the country doing that. This one is a gig musician. And he basically every Thursday, Friday, Saturday is playing in a different bar around the area, putting ends together. And then there is a pastor who's uprooted himself from all of this and lives 1,200 miles away. And as I sat there and I looked at this family in the midst of my exhaustion, I realized that we were gathered around the table, yes. But what really was holding us together was my mom. And I realized as I thought that just how beautiful that was. That this is exactly the kind of messy and strange family that my mom would cherish. She was the teacher who made space for the kids who failed freshman English so that they could take it as seniors, and she loved them. She discovered in them their gifts and all of who they could be and helped them to understand that for themselves. She was the one who held space for those who needed somebody to be their advocate as they went through those formative years of high school. And she is the one who also encouraged us to spread our wings and to make a longer table and a bigger tent. And so as we were gathered there, I realized it's probably what was happening in Jesus' mind when he talked in the Gospel of John. You see, there, the Jewish folks who had believed in him, they thought, it has to look this way. One way, children of Abraham. And Jesus said to them, no, guys, God's family is this strange, weird, wonderful thing that covers all walks of life, all ways of being, all unique gifts that are a part of what we now call the church. So, what do we put at the center? For those of you who are confirmands, we put those five promises of baptism at the center. We say, what does it mean to be gathered as God's people? It means to put God at the center of the life that we share, to seek justice, to serve others, to take care of our neighbors, and to come again and again to the font and the table. But we do it with this super weird family. So today, confirmands, these people out here are going to say yes to the ways that you are weird and wonderful, to your unique gifts, to the fullness of who you are as children of God. They are going to say one more time, you, we love you, and God loves you, just as you are. And you, confirmands, what we're going to ask you today to do is to say yes to their weirdness. And they're weird, I promise you. This moment that we share here is about saying yes to God's family in all of its brokenness, in all of its messiness, because God has said yes to it in all of its brokenness and all of its messiness. Watch the screen. What we are up to today and what Jesus said to us as people of God in the Gospel of John is that if we're going to come together and to worship God, it means saying this in all of its dysfunction, this in all of its beauty, this in all of its wonder, is my circus. And these, those folks out there, and these here in the front row, these are God's monkeys. And so they're my monkeys too. Amen.